I am just going to read three poems, but the first one has quite a long introduction. So, 29 years is a long time to remember, to keep fresh the events surrounding the death of Eddie Nolan. Over a generation has passed since the first Prisoner's Justice Day, and those of us here who remember those first fasts and vigils and hunger strikes have shown a remarkable persistence. We began our activism in the shadow of Attica, with fresh understanding of the reality of prison resistance as expressed in rage at Kingston Penitentiary, and in optimism with efforts to collectively organize inside prisons. Years later, it might be felt that our struggle has failed. However, we also know that it has been about one quarter of the time that it took in South Africa to bring down the legal system that became known as apartheid. So we know that struggles can be sustained and the world changed, providing there is the strength and will to do so. This should be a day that brings together refugees, political activists, survivors of the streets, people concerned about economic justice, and representatives of faith communities, because we have a common stake in what happens behind bars. People are in prison for refusing to kill and for killing, for speaking out and for acting out, because of where they were born and for dreaming. Our jails are where idealists and the most marginalized come together finally as equals, as the system does not distinguish between economic, political, or social crimes, or between crimes and wanting to live in Canada without the proper pass. The powers that be make these links instinctively, and we have to work at it. This past weekend, I was in Montreal for a series of events looking at peace, justice, and nonviolent struggle in Montreal and around the world. Whether mentioned directly or indirectly, it was hard to avoid the fact that prisons are evil. Those concerned with refugees had stories of detention centers. Those concerned with child soldiers reminded us that for many in those societies, imprisonment was one of the lesser consequences of wanting to save one's family. At the table next to me on Saturday were people concerned for the victims of crimes, who saw in community-based alternatives to prisons the best way of addressing their needs. As long as one person is forgotten and dehumanized, all of us are at risk. We are at risk until the walls come down. Until the walls come down, there will be faces we never see, turning away from fear and anger and rage. Until the walls come down, names are erased, community severed, humanity scared. Until the walls come down, our fates are shadowed, barred structures always looming over us. Until the walls come down, we will be as insecure as a stranger on the heating grate, as the inwardly shrinking woman on the other side of the brutal voice. Until the walls come down, our children will use adult tools for adult gain to kill one another for reasons arising from adult lies. Until the walls come down, silence is not an option. Even if we say nothing, the walls amplify injustice. Until the walls come down, we live out rituals of survival, rites of resistance, dances of revolution. We remember naming of names. In the hills and back rooms, by hanging and by torture, by cops and by death squads, dreamers of justice are killed by nameless and honored forces. In cells and barricades, behind barbed wire and stone walls, voices of revolution are frozen. We remember them all. We remember Ginger Goodwin, killed for refusing to kill, Joel Hill, framed and murdered, Karen Silkwood, killed holding a union card. We remember them all. We remember Victor Jara, killed while singing, Martin Luther King, killed speaking truth to power, Dudley George, killed standing unarmed near a burial ground. We remember them all. We remember Audrey Rosenthal, who opposed apartheid, Patrice Lumumba, liberator, Archbishop Romero, martyr, Carmen Mendieta, Cafesina. We remember them all. We remember those in prison. We remember those who died. We remember those without names. We remember. Our freedom is woven with memory. And the actual next one actually might be even a little bit funny, just not unusual for me. One of the things that wherever you're staying in that jail that you have is as a roommate is a cockroach. And although this isn't talking specifically about the cockroaches in the Don jail, it's actually a peace poem. Nonetheless, since the roaches are here, they should be remembered. So let us praise the war machine. Buried deep in the collection of my youthful dreams is a button. A cockroach is in the center, holding up the sign, Cockroaches for Nuclear War. Legend has it that at Ground Zero in Nagasaki and at the bottom of the crater at Los Alamos, live cockroaches were sound. And around us we hear the calls for war. New nations have nuclear bombs. Alleged good guys use depleted uranium and conventional weapons of mass destruction. Dancing with glee are the cockroaches chanting, Let us praise the war machine. It means the fulfillment of cockroach dreams.